Why? Compared to God's age, we are all children. He is the Ancient of Days. Hallelujah. So say to your neighbor, I've forgotten what you have to say now. Thank you. Oh, you know, it's good to have people who watch out for you. Hallelujah. We all need people who watch out for us. Let me say something. You see, we are living in an age that people don't like to be confronted with truth. We are living in an age where everybody is right. We are living in an age where truth is defined as relative. I've seen people on Facebook say, my truth is different from your truth. There is no such thing. Hallelujah. The only reason why truth is truth is because truth does not change. Anything that can change is not truth. So for example, the sun is shining, yeah? But tomorrow, it may be raining. So the sun shining now is not truth. It's only a fact. I know I'm playing with words. It's just what? A fact. But truth is spiritual. Truth does not change. Let me give an example of a truth. Yeah? You want to know a truth? Hallelujah. Do you want to know a truth? You want to know a truth? The Bible says that with God, all things are possible. That's a truth. It doesn't change. It doesn't respect age. It doesn't respect color. So long God is God, with Him, all things are possible. 100 people might have gone through the same experience and said, look, there's no way. But one truth again, he said, God will make. I don't know. I know you sang that song, yeah? Maybe we'll sing it now so that to remind you. You know, he said, God will make a way where there seems to be what? I know you sang it, but let me give you a revelation there. When he says that God will make a way, it means that if it takes God to create it, he will create it. Hallelujah. 1 million people might have gone through the experience and there's no way. But if it takes God to create it for you, if you believe, if you what? Believe, He will do it. That's why He says, God will make a way. You know what? I need to show you, then we will sing it. Go to Isaiah. I think it's chapter 43. The book of Isaiah. Where is Isaiah today? There's an Isaiah in this church. Where is he? Is he in Newcastle or Manchester? Isaiah chapter 43, I believe. God will be speaking to you today. Is it 43? Do you know where I'm going? It says, behold, I do a new thing. Have you found it? Which verse? Thank you. Thank you very much. 19. Yes, 19 is what I'm looking for. Look at 43. Isaiah 43. But let's start from verse 18. So someone who has not spoken in church today. Isaiah chapter 43, verse 18. So we're going to read verse 18 and 19. Isaiah 43, verse 18 and 19. Yes, we would like to read. Someone was not read. Okay, Brother Dede. Isaiah 43, verse 18 and 19.
It says, remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old.
Yes.
Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness, and the rivers in the deserts.
Amen. Amen. I know you sung that song for so long, but you never knew where it was in the Bible. Hallelujah. That's where they picked it from. He said, I will make a road in the desert. Hallelujah. But for God to do a new thing in your life, I always try to remind people, I said, if God's operation in your life is all up to God, yeah? You know what we need to do? We should just close the church now and everybody just go. Let's go and party. Because there's nothing for us to do. So every time you pray to God and say, God, do it. And then it didn't happen. And they're like, God, why didn't you do it? If it was all up to God, we should close. No need for church. No need for anything. It's all up to God. He will do it. He's faithful. Isn't he faithful? I don't know if you got what I just told you. Let me explain something to you. Anything that is failing your life is not God's fault. Because God is faithful. God cannot fail. God cannot go late to work. You know how many people go late to work? God can't. You know why? The Bible says that he neither sleeps nor slumbers. Imagine like you're just, you know, doing something, you're so tired, and then you slumber. It doesn't. Hallelujah. If it was all up to God, we should just, there's no need for coming to church, no need for choir, no need for keyboard, no need for giving. It's all up to God. He will do it, isn't it? Even that verse that says, I will do a new thing. What did he say in verse 18? He gave you something. Every time that God wants to intervene in your life, you must be part of that intervention. The part that is failing your life is your decision not to take responsibility for your breakthrough. The day you start taking responsibility for your breakthrough will come closer to you. Are you with me? The reason why you're not seeing God's power in your life is because you are not cooperating with God. Or because there are some things you don't know. Hosea chapter 4 verse 6, it said, my people, everybody say my people. He's talking about God's people. He's not talking about unbelievers. He said, my people are destroyed. Hosea 4 6, because of lack of knowledge. There's something you don't know today that's blocking your breakthrough. The day you know it, you will start walking in that breakthrough. Hallelujah. There's something in your life today that you are not seeing. That the day God opens your eyes and you begin to see it, you begin to live differently. Hallelujah. There are some things that you are not doing now, that the moment you begin to do them, the breakthrough will be begging you to enter. Hallelujah. He said, look at the responsibility. Now, let's read verse 18 together. Read that verse 18. I know we're going to read from different versions. That's fine. God likes to hear our noise. He said, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Isaiah 43, 18. Are you ready? Now, if you want to see a new thing in your life, there's always a condition. Anytime that God wants to work in your life, there's always something that God wants you to do. I try to explain this way. God cannot operate on the earth without the cooperation of man, because he gave the earth to man. That's why when God wanted to save our soul, God had to come down and become what? A man. Why did he have to come down? Why not save our souls from heaven? Because anytime God wants to operate on the earth, he needs the cooperation of a man. When I say man, I mean man or who man. They are both man. You see that? Hallelujah. If you're a lady here, say to yourself, say, I'm a woman, therefore I'm man. You see, that's in the definition of woman. You get it? Hallelujah. It's a lot of effort to keep referring to man and woman, so I just keep it simple. I'm not being feminist. Or actually, no, it's the wrong word. I'm not being chauvinist. Yeah? Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Let's read verse 18 together. Isaiah 43, and remember the title today is Trust and Honor. Isaiah 43, verse 18. Are you ready? Let's read together. Verse 19, verse 1. Let's stop there. I mean, part 1. Now, I know you could read your Bible. You will read verse. It happened to me many times. I know what I'm saying. You read verse 18, then you quickly ignore it. You just look, because verse 18 might not interest you. But verse 19 says, behold, I do anything. Ah, yes! Yes! I believe! Help my unbelief. He said, you should not consider the things of old. What are the things of old? The things of old are all the facts in your life that make you feel useless. All the facts in your life that make you feel hopeless. all the facts that are presenting you that tells you that it's not possible. If those things dominate your mind, they hinder whatever God is going to do. Hallelujah. That's why he said, don't consider them. They are there. We're not denying them. We're not denying them. We're just refusing to consider them. There's a difference between knowing something and considering it. Now, when you begin to consider it, you will worry. So worry is a sign that you are considering the things of old. Are you with me? When you begin to consider them, you will fear. Fear is a sign that you are considering what? The things of old. And finally, if you begin to consider them, you will doubt. Hallelujah. I share something with you now. Okay, I'm going to deviate from my message. I'll let the Holy Spirit give you what he wants to give you. I want to show you something about doubt. So we're going to go to the story of Peter. I'm just looking for which of them to give you. So we'll go to Matthew, the book of Matthew, chapter 14. I want to show you something about doubt and how doubt operates, and how doubt can destroy blessing. Matthew chapter 14. Verse 22 to 33. Matthew 14, 22 to 33. Now I'm going to skip it because of time. So let's start from Matthew 14, 22 to 33. Someone who has not read today. Matthew 14, 22, 33. Yes, anyone? Everybody in this church reads. Let me give you a secret. It's part of my strategy to make sure that you're not sleeping. Yeah. Matthew 14, verse 22. Yes, go on.
Immediately after this, Jesus insisted that his disciples get back into the boat and cross to the other side of the lake while he sent the people home. After sending them home, he went up into the hills by himself to pray. Night fell while he was there alone. Meanwhile, the disciples were in trouble far away from the land, for a strong wind had risen, and there were frightening heavy waves. About 3 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came down towards them, walking on the sea. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified. In their fear, they cried out, "It is a ghost." But Jesus spoke to them at once. "Don't be afraid," he said. "Take courage, I am here." Then Peter called to him, "Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come to you walking on the water." "Yes, come," Jesus said. So Peter went over the side of the boat and walked on the water towards Jesus. But when he saw the strong wind and the waves, he was terrified and began to sink. "Save me, Lord," he shouted. Jesus immediately reached out and grabbed him. "You have so little faith," Jesus said. Why did you doubt me?" When they climbed back into the boat, the wind stopped. Then the disciple worshipped him. "You really are the Son of God," they exclaimed.
Amen. Hallelujah. Now, thank you very much. Now, I know when you read that story in today's world, the first thing that may come to your mind is to say, well, that happened in those days. And after all, Jesus was with him or with them. I mean, if I have Jesus with me now, I would really believe. Hallelujah. John chapter 1, verse 1. It said, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. And the Word was God. By Him were all things created, whether visible or invisible. Hallelujah. And the Bible said, the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. And we beheld His aim and His glory. Hallelujah. Now let me tell you something. The Word has never stopped dwelling amongst us. Yes, Jesus has ascended to heaven. But he said, my peace I leave with you. Hallelujah. Where is that peace? In the Word. You have the Word. This is how you see Jesus. You know why you've not been seeing Jesus? You have not been looking into the Word. I see Him. He's there. This is the Word of life. Hallelujah. So everything, and let me tell you what Jesus said. He said, greater things you will do. He said, when he was going, he said, oh Lord, oh, why are you going? We didn't need you. You know, remember the other day we didn't have food? And you took those 5 loaves and 2 fishes and you multiplied them. You know, remember the other day we couldn't pay tax? You sent us into the stream and we took out the fish and picked our coin and paid tax. Remember the other day, you know, that they wanted to stone you and you just walked through them. He just walked through them. He said, Jesus, we can't live without you. But he said, it's important for you that I go. Because if I don't go, you will not receive the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Now when the Holy Spirit comes to live in you, and when does that happen? When you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. I keep emphasizing, you cannot do that by mistake. If you have not done it, you have not done it. If you have not made a voluntary, conscious, willing decision that Jesus will come into your heart and be your Lord and Savior, then you are not saved. It cannot happen by mistake. It cannot happen by association. It cannot happen because you are born in church or you are in church. It happens because you come to that point in your life and say, Jesus, I need you. Without you, I'm lost. Hallelujah. Now, when you do that, you know how Jesus comes to live in you? It's through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the guarantee that you are saved. And when you receive Jesus and make Him your Lord and Savior, the Spirit of Christ, which is the Holy Spirit, comes to live in you. Then you can boldly say that I'm born again, I'm saved. I am now a son of God. You are not born as a son of God. No. You are born as a son of the devil. Hallelujah. The Bible talks about the Pharisees. That when they didn't believe Jesus, they said, you are of your father, the devil. I know when you raise that. Well, that was them. No. It's because when Adam sinned, we were all pushed into spiritual darkness. And you know, you may not know about Adam, so I'll tell you about him. He's your great, 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 super grand, great grandfather. That's why we're all common. We all come from one blood. Yeah? So different diversities, but one blood. Adam. Someone will say, what was the color of Adam? Let's try that. What was the color of Adam? Skin color. Skin color of Adam. Guess. Have you ever thought about it? What's the skin color of Adam? Yes, let's try Gloria. Is it Gloria? Hallelujah. The skin color of Adam. You know Adam? I'm not talking about Adam, the one that plays football. I mean, Adam and Eve in the Bible. Do you know the story? Yeah, just give me. I'm not looking for a perfect answer. What was the skin color of Adam? Have you ever thought about it? Okay, she passes. Any other person? Come on, be adventurous. Samuel, skin color of Adam. It's a guess.
Black.
Black, okay. The skin color of Adam?
It's like dust.
Dust. Skin color of Adam?
Maybe like someone from Iran. Iraq.
Black color. Do I know anybody from Iran? Okay, I do. My boss at uni. Yes. Any other guess? Okay. So someone said dust, because we know it was made from the dust of it. That makes sense, actually. But dust seems to have many colors, isn't it? Depending on where you are. You know what a good guess is? The skin color of Adam was brown. And that's why all the colors could come out. You see the DNA? That DNA multiplies. So in Adam had all the colors that we see today. This simple biology, there's no trick to it. Biology tells you that. If we are going to have all the colors we see today in all the races, all the eye colors, all the hair types, they were all in the DNA of Adam. He combined them. But over time, we're talking about 6,000 years, it has speciated. Are you with me? 6,000 years is a long time to speciate. And you lose, you know, as it speciates, that information is lost in some races and they keep what they have. And like that, Adam was brown. Hallelujah. And so from brown could come white to one extreme, or black to the other extreme. I'm not the blackest person you can meet. Hallelujah. We have one blood. And God made us. But when Adam fell, you and I were inside him. Are you with me? We're inside him as seed. And so he dragged us all into spiritual darkness. That's why we're not born as sons of God. That's why you need to be born again. Now that born again is not referring to a physical birth. You see, when you are born first, you are born as a physical being, giving physical human life. Hallelujah. But spiritually, you are cut off from the life of God. Because Adam was cut off because he fell. He was not made like that, but he sinned and he fell. But the second Adam came, which is Jesus. Hallelujah. The Bible says that the first Adam was a living soul. But the last Adam is a life-giving spirit. Hallelujah. And when you receive him, he gives you life, spiritually. And now, you become a child of God. That's the starting point. The starting point to all blessing, that you have to become what? A child of God. Let's open to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. We're coming back to that story. Don't think I've forgotten. John chapter 1 verse 12. I think the Holy Spirit just wants to emphasize that to you. If you want to live in the blessing, if you want to live in the blessing, the starting point is to become a child of God. Then you can call God your father. Hallelujah. John chapter 1 verse 12. Let's have it from two versions. Again, anyone who has not read today, John chapter 1 verse 12. Let's have it from two versions. Yes, anyone who has not yet read today? Yes? Yes, okay. So first version. Do you know your version?
Yes, this is New King James.
New King James. Okay, go on.
John chapter 1 verse 12. It says, but as many as received
him,
to them he
gave, who is the him there?
Jesus.
Jesus, yes?
To them he gave the right to become children of God.
To them he gave the right to become children of God. Thank you very much. Thank you. God bless you. Yes, let's have one more version. A different version. John chapter 1 verse 12. Yes, Claire. Is it Claire?
But all who believed him and accepted him.
Yes.
He gave the right to become children
he
of God.
He gave them what? The right to become the children of God. Okay. Thank you for those two versions. They don't satisfy me. But they are good. I'm looking for the version that says power. Anybody have a version that says power instead of right? Lisa, let's go for it. Which version do you have?
King James.
King James, thank you. So New King James has played a little trick on us. It's diluted. You know, but I need to explain to you why this happens. The Bible, New Testament, was originally written in Greek. So if you want to know the full meaning of what it was being said, you need to go back to what? Greek. Now, Greek words can be very loaded. They can mean many words, and that's why you have all these different versions that explain to you one aspect of the meaning of that Greek word. And depending on who is translating, they will concentrate on what makes better sense to them. Are you with me? Now, if you want to full a good understanding of the Bible, you need to compare versions. Otherwise, you will lose so much truth. Go on then.
But as many as received him.
But as many as received him.
To give to them gave he power to become.
To them he gave what?
Power.
Power. To do what?
To become the
To become. No, thank you. Thank you. I'm sure you understand my pattern now. Hallelujah. There is a difference between right and power. Hallelujah. You may have the right, but you may not have what? The power. Although usually, your right, for your right to be valid, it needs to be supported by power somewhere. Yeah? No matter what right you claim, if there's no power to back you up, you know, like you talk about human rights, yeah? But if the government decides not to respect human rights, your human rights are nothing. Yeah? If they decide, they tell the police, don't enforce any human rights. Your human rights are what? Nothing. Except you have a higher court to go to. Yeah? Are you with me? Yeah? You see, when I was younger as a Christian, the versions I read told me that as many as received him, he gave them the right to be called the children of God. That's very weak. It just means that, you know, I can go to church and say, oh, we are all children of God. Oh, yes, now we are all children of God. Clap for Jesus. Hallelujah. That's not what the Bible is saying. It says when you receive him, he gives you the power to become. You see, it's not just to be called, but to become. That means that I'm the junior brother of Jesus. I can do everything that Jesus did in the flesh. Because now I have become. And my becoming is backed up by power. It's not my power. It's God's power. But it has been given to me because I receive Jesus. It makes sense because Jesus is the power. When he comes into my life and dominates me, what is in me? Power. Hallelujah. Now, how will that work in my life? I have to recognize it. Otherwise, I can go through all life and live a weak life because I didn't recognize that I've received power to become. Say, just say, I've received. No, let's not say that way. Say, because I've made Jesus my Lord and my Savior voluntarily, willingly, and totally, I have received power to become a son of God. Yeah, say son, even if you are female. In the spirit, there's no gender. You understand? There's no gender in the spirit. The gender is in the body. You with me? If I was to take out all your spirits now, we know female, male. You with me? The gender is a body thing. Hallelujah. We have received power. Hallelujah. The light is in us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So you know what I do? When I'm walking through the streets, I say, Father, thank you. When I'm even saying Father, I am saying it not as a name tag. He is my Father. Much more than my earthly Father. You know why he's much more than my Father? My earthly Father is not here, but he is here. My earthly Father cannot do all things. He can. Hallelujah. I say, Father, I thank you because I'm a son of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I say, Lord, I'm so weak. I don't want to confess that. I may feel weak in my body. Got it? I'm not denying the facts. But I'm not going to consider them. I say, Father, it's a choice you make. You have to choose what you want to. I mean, like, I have a TV and there are 100,000, 100 to 1,000 channels. I don't know. But I have to choose which one I want to watch. If by mistake I go home and the TV is on a channel, that doesn't mean I have to watch it. I choose what I want to watch. Hallelujah. I choose what I want to consider. I choose what I want to focus on. And I choose not to focus on that which will pull my life down. Hallelujah. Now let me tell you the standard proof that God is not in the business. When you are worrying, God is not there. There's no worry in God. That means that for me to keep God in business, I choose not to focus on whatever is making me worry. I begin to focus on what God has said. Now, for me to truly prove that I focus on what God has said, I have to say it after him. Hallelujah. For example, Psalm 1. Yeah? I will get it, don't worry. You know, this is not my... When I'm speaking like this, just the Holy Spirit is just dropping it, so I will get it. I think it's is it 139? But I'll get it. The word is in me. Hallelujah. The word is where? Where is the word? In the Pastor Ben? Where is the word? Hallelujah. It's a personal thing. Go to Psalm 118, verse 17. Psalm 118, verse 17. Yes, if you've not read, let's read. Psalm 118, verse 17. Yes?
I shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord.
Hallelujah. Can we read it together, church? Read from your version. I shall not die, but live and declare the word of God. Hallelujah. What is the reason why you have to live? From that verse. What is the only reason why you can approach God and say, God, I must live? What's the reason?
To declare the work of God.
Let me tell you something. You see, if you are living a life of evil and wickedness, you don't have the right to be asking for long life, because God knows that you're not going to use it to glorify Him. You with me? We're talking about trust and honor, and I will go back there to Proverbs as we round up. The reason why I can approach God and say, Father, I shall not die, but live, is because I have a purpose, I have a mission. Hallelujah. And that mission, God is involved in it. Hallelujah. My life on earth has value to heaven. So heaven must be interested in my continuing to live. The reason to live is not so that I can eat fried rice and chicken. Are you with me? Any animal can eat fried rice. When I go to university, you know, you have people eating all this fast food like burger and Subway and all that, and they put it in the bin. You have these birds and squirrels, and they're just, you know, picking for. I say, wow, these animals are enjoying. You know, free fast food every day. Hallelujah. If it's just about eating and drinking, you're no different from an animal. Hallelujah. It's the mission of your life that gives the value to your living. And when your life has a mission, you have every reason to demand that you will not die, but live. Because you are going to live to declare the good works of God. Hallelujah. Now listen, even that has not been the case before, that has to be the case now. That's the value of your life. At the end of your life will not be measured by any other things you've achieved. It will be measured according to the good works of God that you've done. That's how God will measure the value of your life. Anything you have now, anything you've achieved now, has no meaning until it contributes to the kingdom. Like someone says, explain, say, everything you have achieved is like a zero. For it to have meaning, you need to put God's one behind it. You know? Whatever you've achieved, you have 0000000000. Is what? Equal to zero. Are you with me? Let's go again. 000000 and 000 is equal to what? Yeah. But put God's one behind it. It becomes a million. Hallelujah. Everything you have, everything you've achieved, until God becomes the center. When He becomes the center, your life has focus. It has meaning. And when Jesus is the center, whether you live or die, you cannot lose. And so, I found out that, I will show you one scripture, and then we'll begin to pull it together within 10 minutes and finish. But before that, let's go back to Peter. So Peter was in a storm. They were afraid that they would die. They were actually afraid that what? At first they were afraid of losing their boat and all their, you know, cargo. Cargo, I like the word cargo. But as the storm continued, the boat, in fact, they threw all the cargo away. Cargo, where my life is. Cargo and boat have no meaning anymore when faced with this terrible situation. Are you with me? They were afraid of their very lives. Now, as they were in that situation, they saw Jesus. And what was He doing? The same storm that was about to destroy them. What was Jesus doing? He was walking on the storm. What is the difference? Because he's the Son of God. Hallelujah. Just like you now. You are what? Except if you are not born again. Hallelujah. You are no less the Son of God than Jesus. Except what? If you are not born again. And if you are not, get born again today. So that you can receive that power to become the Son of God. Not when you die. You don't need Son of God when you die. It's now you need it. Are you with me? So Peter sees Jesus and says, well, if it's you, bid me to come. Yeah? It's like when you pray and say, God, if you can do it, just do it and I will glorify your name, isn't it? And Jesus said, come. Everybody said, come. Sometimes what you just need to do is take that step of faith. In obedience. Your step of faith is not the step of faith until it is in obedience to what God has said. You with me? Anybody can take a step. But when you take a step in obedience to whatever God is telling you, then it is a step of faith. Are you with me? And so Peter started walking on this water. And he was walking on the water. And he was what? Walking on the water. And suddenly, he looked around and began to consider. Somebody say, consider. The waves. The winds. Yeah? And then he doubted and began to sink. Every time you consider the facts that are not good in your life, it will take you into doubt and worry and fear, and you will begin to sink. But every time, irrespective, the facts cannot help you. They can't. The sun is shining. What can I do about it? Hallelujah. But irrespective of all that information, when you decide to keep focus on Jesus, the beginning and the end, the author and the finisher of your faith, and when you not only keep focus on Him, when you keep focus on Him and walk with Him, He never told you to do it for Him. He said, come to me, all you that labor and heavy laden, I will give you rest. But the rest is not the rest for sleeping on your bed and, you know, having breakfast in bed. The type of rest Jesus gives is the one that He said, all that yoke that Satan has given you, I will take it away. Then I will give you my yoke and my burden. You know what His yoke and His burden is? The kingdom. He said, because my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Hallelujah. So when you walk with Jesus in the midst of your storm, you will not sink. Whether in life or in death, you will still have the victory. I'll show you two things, then we round up. I need to show you this, then we round up. I want to tell you something about living and dying. Look at Hebrews chapter 2. I don't think I've ever even preached on this verse before in this church, but I want to show you how you can be free. How you can be free from the oppression of Satan, whether in life or in death. Hebrews 2. Hebrews chapter 2. You see, in this church, our mission is not to entertain you. Our mission is to feed you. Now let me tell you the difference between the word of God that excites you or entertains you and the one that feeds you. When the word of what God feeds you, you will grow. Are you with me? When the word of God feeds you, you will what? Grow. If you are in church 5 years, you are still the same, you are not growing. That means that what you are eating is rubbish. Are you listening to me? Now, when the word of God feeds you, it may not always be palatable, but you will grow. Hallelujah. Hebrews 2. Hebrews 2, 15. Let's take it from 14 to 15. Hebrews 2, 14 to 15. Let's have someone who has not read today. Read. Is that Pamela? Are you still there? Have you read? Can I, Gina? Yes, go for it. Hebrews 2, 14 and 15, please.
Because God's children are human beings, made of flesh and blood, the Son also became flesh and blood. For only as a human being could he die, and only by dying could he break the power of the devil, who had the power of death. Only in this way could he set free all who have lived their lives as slaves to the fear of dying.
Hallelujah. Sit down. I want to do something that will release you. Hallelujah. Now, if you want to be free to live by faith, one of the things you need to be released from is the fear of death. Hallelujah. The moment you are no longer afraid of dying, you are free to live by faith. Because what the devil does to you every time is to threaten you that you will go down. Then you don't obey God. You know, you're trying to fix it. Yeah? Something is happening in your life. You know from the word of God what you should do. But you are looking at circumstances and you need a quick fix. Because you are afraid of death. The dying is not just the real death, but dying, the day Adam sinned, decided to die. Sickness is dying. Disease is dying. Poverty is dying. Oppression is dying. Depression is dying. Everything not going right in your life is like dying. And as human beings, we have been born into the fear of death. We don't want to die. We don't want to lose. We don't want to go down, isn't it? And that then begins to dictate how we live. Hallelujah. But he said that Jesus Christ became flesh. So that, when he did that, he through his own dying, he died. Do you know that Jesus died? He didn't have to die. He died at 33. He could have lived to be 1,000. He's the Son of God. But he died so that you can be released. Even when he died, he broke the power of the devil. Who had the power of death? That's what he uses to threaten you all the time. But the day you can decide and say what? Paul said, when I live is Christ. When I die is gain. If I'm a child of God, death is just an entry into greater glory. Hallelujah. So I don't want to live my life in the fear of death. I want to live my life by faith, doing everything that God has called me to do and enjoying everything that God has given me to enjoy to his glory. Hallelujah. I don't want to limit my obedience to God because I'm afraid that something will go wrong. When you're under fear, you cannot be under faith. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You cannot be under faith if you're under fear. So one of the decisions you need to make is, I refuse to live in fear of anything. Why? Because Jesus is my Lord. He's my life. Whether in life or in death, Jesus is what? My Lord. Hallelujah. And you know, eventually we will all go. Hallelujah. But if you are in Christ, you will live again. Just like I will live again. I'm not planning to die, by the way. I'm planning to be raptured. That's how I want to go. I just want to fly. Hallelujah. But we will all leave this world because this world is broken. This life is broken. But we are coming back to a renewed world where we will never die again. Hallelujah. So when you release yourself from that fear, you can now live and obey God. Everything you are trying to fix in your life is because of you are afraid. You are afraid. What if? You can't trust God if you are afraid. Because that fear will make you do things that you should not do. Are you with me? Let's round up on this note and then we go to prayer. Proverbs chapter 3. There's the last one. Proverbs chapter 3. Are you there? Proverbs chapter 3. That's all we read for Bible reading. And I want to just read for you. Verse 5 to 8. Proverbs 3, 5 to 8. Please follow me one more time in your Bible. That's the last one today. Proverbs 3, 5 to 8. Are you there? Yes? Okay, let's read together as church. Let's read. Go on.
Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your path. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones.
Hallelujah. When you choose, when you come to that point, and I made that decision one day, I just made that decision. I was born again, I was a Christian, but along my journey, I just made that decision that, you know what, I'm going to give God my full attention. It's a decision you just have to make. You have to just go to one point and say, you know what, I'm done. God, you have my full attention. Whatever you want me to do, wherever you want me to go, whatever I need to cut off, cut it off. Whatever I need to repent, I will repent of it. I'm ready now. Say, ready now, Lord. Then ask your neighbor. Ask them, say, are you ready? He said, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean to your understanding, because your understanding is subject to the power of fear and the power of death. He said, in all your ways, put Him first. If you're going to make a decision, ask Him first. Ask Him first. Rather than making your decision and imposing Him on Him to stamp it. That's what we do. You make your decision and say, God, you have to stop this, otherwise I won't go to church next week. That's wrong. You ask Him. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. He's the Ancient of Days. He's been there before you. He knows the way better than you. And when you, wherever you've missed it in your life, God knows the way to fix it. God can fix it. Whether in your body or in your mind, God can what? Fix. He's the master fixer. It doesn't matter what is broken. God can make it whole. You know why? He made it before. He made it originally. Hallelujah. It doesn't matter what mess you put yourself in. When you begin to put God first, when you begin to ask Him, and you ask Him with the heart that is ready to obey. Because many times we ask God, but we are not ready. We still go back because of the fear of death, the fear of losing, the fear of timing out. We go back and go to our own ways. We're not ready for Him. But when you go with a heart that is ready, you trust Him, you acknowledge Him, you put Him first, what will He do? He will direct your path. People will look at you, they would understand you. Say, how is He doing it? They can't understand you because you are not using human wisdom. You are using spiritual wisdom, which just comes from a heart of obedience. But the results people will see. Hallelujah. When you are free from the fear of death, you can live. Please turn to your neighbor. Tell them, say, do not compromise your living by faith because of the fear of death. Hallelujah. Let me just share this and we close. I wanted to give you the example of Peter. That's why I took you there. In the last year or 1.5 years, I've been having that problem with my tooth. Now, I've had problems with my teeth before, and I've removed quite some in the back, but that's okay in the back, yeah? But suddenly, you know, I started having problems with my front tooth. Now, you know I'm a speaker. I'm a preacher. So my front tooth matters, yeah? And for about a year or a year and a half, this tooth was just wobbling. The gums below it were swollen red. I brushed, they are bleeding. I done everything I knew how to do. But then it just dawned on me. I said, wait a minute. You know, I said, I shall not die, but I live to declare the words of the Lord. And so I found a reason. I said, Father, I'm using this thing to preach your word and to teach your word. Hallelujah. I'm not going to lose it. I don't care about the facts. I have made my decision. I'm not going to lose that day. In fact, as I kept doing that, the teeth started dislocating. So it was wobbly before, but it started shifting at an angle. Now, I couldn't close my teeth well because that was dislocated and supporting my mouth could not close. Every morning, I look at the mirror, brush that teeth, I say, Father, thank you, because these teeth, I'm using them to glorify you. And by the stripes of Jesus, my teeth are whole, my bones are whole. Sometimes I'm brushing, still bleeding. Hallelujah. I maintained that confession of faith for about a month. Then something happened. The two started aching. So now I'm into pain. Hallelujah. And then I went for a prayer meeting. It was a prayer cell, actually, some of our brethren. I prayed very hard. And when I got back home, my front guns were swollen. So the next morning, nobody told me to book an appointment with the dentist. So I went. I was like, well, I've told you, you know, this state. Actually, at that point, I already made up my mind, you know what? Even if it cost me £1,000 to, you know, put an artificial teeth, I would do it. Because the pain was unbearable. I'm with 1-2 years of stress, yeah? So I thought maybe it may cost me £500. So I got to the dentist. He said, well, he assessed it. He said, yeah, you may lose this teeth, you know, whatever. I said, what are the options? He said, dentures. I don't like dentures. I mean, I'm still young. Front teeth. And then he said, okay, well, you can have an implant. So how much is an implant for one tooth? £3,000. I said, okay, that's the end of that part. It's impossible. And as I walked out of the dentist, you know what the Holy Spirit told me? He said, why did you doubt? Hallelujah. Now, I'm talking about 4 weeks ago. Four weeks ago. And I went back home. I repented of my doubt. I said, Lord, I'm very, very sorry for doubting. Now, at least I know that I can't afford the implant, yeah? And I just went back in faith. I said, Father, I thank you. Because I use this and I use this God to preach and teach your word. I will not lose it. Hallelujah. Within 2 weeks, he made it whole. I closed my mouth, back in position. No bleeding at all. No swelling at all. I've been brushing for 2 weeks, no bleeding. I bled for more than a year. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's why I say, consider not the former things. Don't remember the things of old. Because God is doing a new thing. If you can keep your focus on Him, live by faith, and free from the fear of death. Because look at it. If you're a believer, there's no fear in death. It's only a passing on to glory. So there's no need to live in the fear of death because it stops you living. Hallelujah. Let's pray. I believe that God has spoken to you today. I've just gone around because I know why that has happened, because we are different people here who need different things. But God has spoken to you. Now, the worst thing you can do when you hear the word of God is to go back and forget. Right now, the first thing you need to do is to begin to repent before God for every way you have not lived by faith. Every way you've allowed the fear of losing, the fear of timing out, the fear of dying, the fear of going down, stop you from obeying God. You were trying to fix it by yourself. And then you created a bigger mess. I want you to repent and say, Father, forgive me. I'm sorry. Every way that you have not lived in righteousness, you know, your heart will tell you. Because sometimes when we don't do the right thing, it will open the door to the devil. Look at, the Holy Spirit is talking to you right now. Your life, where you know that you have lived in disobedience. You have taken what belongs to God. You've kept it for yourself. You have been mean to people or wicked to people. I want you to repent of it. Because the Bible says that if we say that we have no sin, what are we doing? We are lying. And the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us. And to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That means that we become righteous again. So today I want you to make it right with God. And if you have never done it, this is your moment to say, Jesus, come into my life. I mean it with all my heart. Be my Lord and my Savior. Dominate me completely so that whether in life or in death, I have no fear. He has broken the power of Satan. He has released those who were all their lifetime subject to the bondage of fear. Make up my mind as from today to walk with you, to listen to you, to give you the priority, and to obey you as you guide me in this part of life. Pray one more prayer and say, Father, show me the way. You know, sometimes it's not just to pray that God should make a way. Sometimes you need to change the prayer and say, show me the way. Sometimes when you pray God make a way, you are disconnected from the way. But usually God wants to involve you. Say, Father, show me the way to move forward. Show me the way of transformation, the way of progress, the way of breakthrough. Show me the way of life. Show me the way to make the most of my life. In Jesus' name. We're going to sing, God, we make a way. Where there seems to be no way, because he walks in the ways we cannot see, he will make a way for us, and he will be our guide, leading us closely to his heart. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can we just rise up, church? Rise up. Let's sing together. And God will make a way. Where there seems to be no way,
he walks in ways we cannot see. He will make a way
for me.
He will be
make it personal, my guys.
Only closely to his eyes, only love and strength for each new day. He will make a way.
We're going to sing it one more time, but I want you to make it personal. Now, this is the moment you're allowed to be selfish. Think about it and see God. Like Peter in the storm. Walking on your water. And bidding you to come to walk with him. Hallelujah.
God, make a way. Where the seems to be no way.
Make a way.